give you a title this morning. And Alan, if you'll help me out right here. A title of this message today is How does a strong man pray? How does a strong man pray? And I just knew this morning I needed somebody to open up this message in prayer to me. And I believe that God has gifted us with a strong man. His name is Gene Gillespie. Gene, would you pray for us this morning?
Well, Father God, I just give you all the praise and all the glory because of who you are in each and every one of our lives. And I come sharing these words of encouragement to the fathers. And I think it's appropriate because there probably are some of us that need to reconcile things with our Father. And you've given us this time, you've given us this day. So I thank you for the words of wisdom that you've given me to pass on. So to those fathers who are sons, remember God requires that we honor our father and mother all the days of our lives so that our days may be long. To the fathers that are brother, God tells us to love thy neighbor as we love ourselves. To the fathers that are dad, he tells us to provoke not our children to anger. To the fathers that are husband, he tells us to love our wife as Christ has loved the church. So much so that we are willing to give our lives for them. And to the men, he tells us to press in towards the prize, which is the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. And let the church say amen. Amen. Thank you so
much. Amen to that. Amen to that. If you have your Bibles, if you'll turn to Ephesians chapter 6, we've been in Proverbs all year long, and we're not out of Proverbs today. I'm actually going to end up in Proverbs chapter 30. Now, we've actually made it through the first 14 chapters of Proverbs, and in all likelihood, we will pick up in chapter 15 next week. And when we get to chapter 30, this will be the portion of chapter 30 that we will have preached, but we will do that today. So if that makes sense, it makes sense to me. And a little insight into what goes into this brain should be taken in small doses. So there you go for that. But we'll be in Ephesians chapter 6. We'll also be in Matthew chapter 6. Proverbs 34, verse 6. I'm sorry, Psalm 34, verse 6. And then Proverbs 30. A lot of scripture. Almost always, back at the soundboard, they laugh at me because I just give them this long list of scriptures. But I don't want to mess this up. And if I just talk a lot, I likely will mess it up. But if I give you scripture, you can't mess scripture up. Do you realize whenever they first started having church services and synagogues, it was a whole lot of it was just someone standing up reading from the Word of God. Do you understand that? And that's hard. We're in a day and a time. We've come through a time when there were tremendous preachers, and then kind of gone through that time, and because we're on to famous personalities now, and preachers that become personalities kind of scares me a little bit, because it can become a lot about them and less about him. and it has to be about him, and we're just the ones that have the honor to speak it. I truly believe this because I've done everything in the church, from pastoring small church to being on the staff of a huge church and everything in between, to starting a church, to founding a church. And that required me to do everything along the way that had to be done. I had to do it and still find that. And I still find myself doing things that are a part of a process, but that I never have been able to just preach on Sunday, and nor would I want to. Let me be clear about that. But my gift is preach. And here's the thing about your gift. Whatever your gift is, you need to realize this. Your gift is not for you. Your gift is for other people. But just like I preach on Sunday, that's just my coat that I wear. That's just my robe. And you've got a coat that you wear. You've got, and you wear that every day. And it's who God has made us for his body. So I'm grateful for that incredible opportunity to preach to you and to speak his word to you. If you're visiting today, God bless you. If you're a father, God bless you. For the future fathers, God bless you all. And thank you, Gene, for that beautiful prayer. Ephesians chapter 6, as I studied all this out, my only problem was, God, help me tie it together. I knew what the information was. I just said, God, help me tie this together. So just understand, for a few minutes, I'm just going to be pulling out the ribbon, the ribbon, the ribbon. And then by the time it's over, I hope to tie it into a bow and that it'll make a sense for us by then. But Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10 through 20, in this chapter, it's talking about obedience. It's talking about authority. And then it says, finally. And that wraps up the chapter from that point. So he's talked about obedience, and then he's talked about the authority that we have and how we're supposed to act and how we're supposed to be. And then he says, finally this, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. So I'm going to ask you to do something that jumped off the page for me, down to verse 20. I know that's not the end of the chapter. It goes on for a little bit, but we're going to go from 10 to 20. But what jumped off the page to me is how many times the word "of" was used. I've never made that correlation. As a matter of fact, just as I was reading through this morning, it just jumped off, of. 16 times. There's from verse 10 to verse 20, that's 11 verses, and actually 11 times that the "of" was connected to God or something spiritual, and 5 times that it was not connected to God. It was connected to the evil one. So 16 times right here. So he's actually showing you two sides, and he's actually showing you light and darkness, and he's showing you two kingdoms right here. And from the very beginning of this year, I've told us men, I've preached to men, and I've preached to all of us about Proverbs, but I'm particularly preaching to men, and I believe that this is a warning for us men, and I will say it again. We cannot live our lives with a foot in two kingdoms. Cannot do it. And here is a division that is made. And I want you to recognize it. And if you'll look at the "of"s, I'm just going to do like this every time there's one. All of the "of"s shows you a distinction between two kingdoms. And we need to recognize that, okay? Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against the spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the day of evil, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace, above all, taking the shield of faith, with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints and for me, that utterance may be given to me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that in it I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. So there's a clue right there. How does a strong man pray? There's a way that we should speak, and that is boldly. And that's not hard for a man to do, but does he speak in the right context boldly? Does he just bark? We've got to be very careful with our words. And towards the end of this passage, it talks about taking and putting on several things. And then it says something else, that we should pray, and that we should always pray with all kinds of prayers and supplications. Supplications are prayers that you continually bring before the Lord. I've preached on that before. There are supplications that I make. There are supplications that you make. There's some things we pray for every now and again. There's some things we pray for every day. But there's some things that we pray for over and over and over again. Is that correct? Would you say that's a correct thing? Those are called supplications. And we're supposed to pray for them. And he says this. He says, pray for all the saints. And then while he's saying that, and for me, he's reminding himself, I need to pray for me. I need to pray for me. I need to pray inwardly, so that when I open my mouth, I will proclaim the things of the Lord that need to be proclaimed. That is how a strong man prays. But we're going to answer that in different ways throughout this passage of Scripture. Now, there's things as men that we've got to have. And as he's talked about authority and obedience, he's given a list of things that we need to put on. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. There are three words that he uses right there. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. You see that? Three things. And they all have to do with strength. They all have to do with power. They all have to do with might. And I want to break them down for you just a minute. It says, when it says be strong, that's the Greek word for that is endynamu. That means in union with the Lord. That's why it says be strong with the Lord. But I want you to picture that being strong in union with the Lord, that you have been united with God, that you have taken Him on, and now you are figuratively putting on His armor. You're putting on His stuff. Be strong in the Lord. Be strong in union with the Lord. And in the power, the word power, that Greek word is kratos, and that means the might of His strength. The might of His strength. Be strong in the Lord. Be you at union with the Lord in the might of His strength. You understand that he's not looking at your physical body. He's talking about his power, and he's offering it to you, regardless of what your physical stature looks like, because the enemy is 0% concerned with your physical capabilities. And in the power of his might, ischus, I don't know how to say it, but you spell it I-S-C-Y-C-H-Y-S, ischus or ischus. It's the strength of God bestowed upon believers. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. So be in union with the Lord and use the might of his strength that he will bestow upon you as a believer, indicating strength afforded to you by power, his, not yours. But he knows that you need it, and he stands ready to give it to you. That's an incredible thing. And then he guards our bodies with his armor, because the enemy has wiles. The enemy has schemes. There's another scripture that says we are not unaware of the enemy's devices. Doesn't it say that? For you're not unaware of the enemy's devices. You know when it's an enemy. You know when it's an enemy. You don't need a call from your pastor to tell you, hey, I'm worried about that one. I don't know if you should do. You know, because the Bible tells you that you know. Because he has put inside of us this conscience to recognize things that go against his will in our lives. And you know these things. But he says, put on the whole armor of God. We don't wrestle against flesh and blood. We wrestle against principalities, powers, the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand. Stand therefore, girding your waist with truth. Girding your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness and shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Do you understand, though, that he gave you a starting place? What was it? We just started right there. What was the first thing he said? In his armor, what did he say? Truth. It needs to start with truth. It has to start with truth. Truth is where it starts. And he says, your waist. To guard your waist. And girded your waist with truth. Your waist. Brent, will you roll that board up here? I'm just going to deal with truth for a minute. Come on up. Let's go. 1, 2, 3. Now, I'm about to draw a human body, so y'all bear with me. All right? I'm going to do the best I can. But I'm glad this isn't my body I'm about to draw. But just for reference sake, see, I told you it wasn't my body. But if this were the waist of a person, this would be the chest, this would be the legs, the waist area. He talks about out of your belly flowing rivers of living water. Doesn't he talk about that living water? Truth. I'm wearing a belt this morning. And truth should be like putting a belt on according to Scripture. Having my waist girded. So I girded a belt today. And I've got to have truth. Here's the thing. I love that it started with truth, because if it doesn't start with truth, it'll never get to truth. It's got to start with truth for it to be true all the way, right? You don't work your way up to truth. You start with truth, and it's important. Now, this is what I want you to get. The waist, your the area, okay, I'm running a risk with this one today. Biology lesson today. Your waist area, men and women, has to do with two things. There we go. Can y'all read what that says? What does it say? Reproduction. I've actually written this out for you guys a long time ago. He says, let your truth be, your waist be girded with truth. Those King James words get me. Truth. This area of your body has to do with reproduction and elimination. Both. Correct? Is there any questions on that? Is there any questions? You can see my mother-in-law after church, and she'll explain that one to you. But, so if we start with the truth, we will reproduce truth, and we will eliminate lies. Does that make sense to you? Whenever there's truth, we will reproduce truth. And as we're reproducing truth in our mind, it will enable us to eliminate the lies. And if we don't start with truth, then we are going to eliminate truth, and we will reproduce lies. You see that? And you know where that'll happen? Right here. There's so much connection between here and here. There really is. And the enemy will use that against you. And if you can keep truth reproducing in you, you will eliminate lies. But if you eliminate the truth, you will reproduce lies. Can I tell you, our culture is running on that nowadays? The method that they're using is to eliminate the truth by making everybody have a truth. So if every, and I'm not just talking about a truth like 2 plus 2 equals 4. I'm talking about in my mind. I've got a set of rules and standards that I go by. They are mine. And if you're going to respect me, you're going to need to at least accept. That's how they started it. You've got to accept my truth. But now, if you, today's culture, if you don't accept my truth, you're a hateful person. You're mean. You don't love me. You only care about yourself, and you've got nothing to say to me, and your mind cannot evolve to the level that mine has. That's today's culture. That's where we live, y'all. And that's why where we've got to learn to live. If we're going to live normally, that's the new normal right there. But our word tells us that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. The problem with everybody having their own truth is then now you got a married couple. And they don't have their truth. They have his truth and her truth. And what does that do? That starts tearing away at the fabric of a marriage. It's like, Tiffany, don't sit beside Brent. They go sit over there. Don't even look towards him, right? You're not going to put up with that, are you? And you're not going to put up with that. When we all have our own individual truth, isn't the earth at about 7 billion people right now? If there's 7 billion different truths, then what we actually have is 7 billion contradictions. How are we supposed to navigate that? How are we supposed to live inside of that? I won't be able to bump into anybody without extreme, we can't come into contact with each other at all because we're just offended with each other. Is the stage not set? You know, when we Facebook is just one avenue. When they gave you the option to like something or then you found out, okay, once I liked it, I don't know if I like it anymore. Okay, you can unlike it. I never knew what that meant. I always thought, I knew what, there was a word called unlike. I meant that unlike was meant like, I don't know, that. And that is unlike that. That's the only realm I knew of unlike. Now I don't think of that anymore. I think, when I think like and unlike, I immediately think of Facebook. I like it or I unlike it. Or maybe I want to get to somebody and I want them to know that I unliked them. Ooh. And that's the culture that we live in. And everybody has their own truth. And now it's just mean. That's just mean. I don't want to walk that out too far, but I just want you to understand this is where we're at. If we come back to this, though, and we have truth, and we realize that I don't get to interject my truth to you. Now, you listen to me. That doesn't work. There's one truth. And he is the way, the truth, and the life. And I can follow him. But it is following him, not leading him, following him. Following. See, that's a whole other word. We don't even understand that one anymore. That one got hijacked. I mean, take the rainbow, take it all. Right? Might have narrowed down my amens right there, but I'm just going to say it. It's all his, anyway. It's his. Truth wants to be reproduced out of me. But if I do not reproduce his truth in my life, I'm actually reproducing lies by eliminating the truth. So how is a man going to pray? How's a strong man going to pray? How's a man going to be strong to start with all of these obstacles? Can a strong man even survive in today's society? If I'm too strong, I might just get isolated and called a bully. Or can I put all my trust in him and be a strong man because I trust him? Just so you know, that's where I'm betting right there. I'm pushing everything right there. Jesus taught his disciples how to pray. So if we're going to answer the question, how does a strong man pray? Here's a template of it right here. Jesus said this, when you pray, Matthew 6, verse 5, when you pray, you shall not be like the hypocrites. See, hypocrites were for show, and hypocrites could pray. Hypocrites even dressed for prayer. They put on all of this stuff. Now he just got through talking about put on the whole armor of God, but they put on the whole armor of a hypocrite. And they went and stood in the place of a hypocrite on the street corner, and they dressed up in these long robes, and everybody could see, uh-oh, here he comes. Here comes the prayer. Get ready. It's probably going to blow your mind today. Put on this little box, a leather strap. It's called a phylacteries box. And it was a little box that they strapped to their head. kind of like wearing a slingshot is what I think of. But inside of it was supposed to be little prayers. So I'm so holy, I'm about to pray for y'all. And I've got little prayers inside my little box right here if I need to pray y'all some more prayers. They were loaded and ready to pray. But Jesus said, don't be like them. He said, when you pray, and he's telling this to his disciples. As a matter of fact, this is in a lot of your Bibles, this is probably subtitled right there, the model prayer. The Lord's Prayer. The model prayer. When you pray, you shall not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners, that they may be seen by men. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward. But when you pray, go into your room, and when you have shut your door, pray to your Father who is in the secret place, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. And when you pray, do not use vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think that they will be heard for their many words. Therefore, do not be like them, for your Father knows the things you have need of before you ask him. In this manner, therefore, pray, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. An amazing prayer taught to us, modeled. When we prayed a couple Wednesday nights, someone closed all the whole prayer in the Lord's Prayer. And I just said, wow, that was, you talk about putting a nice little bow on it, the Lord's Prayer. You can't go wrong with that one. And crazy thing is, most people know it. A lot of people know it. A lot of people know it. So where am I going with this? I told you, I'm still pulling ribbon out. David, the King David, the King David, prayed a prayer. David got jammed up, and David got in trouble, and David prayed a prayer. That's what I love about David. What I used to love about David when I was a little boy was the flannel graph boards, and I just really dated myself. When they put, somebody put, I said amen to that. I dated myself, amen. Flannel graph was this piece of flannel on a board, and these little figures had just a little bit of tackiness on the back of them. They would put up pictures. I mean, just so you know, the next thing that evolved was the magnet people. I remember playing in church with magnet people. For some reason, my mom would let me, I had to sit quietly in church, but I could eat a bag of Cheerios, and I could play with those little magnets. So I remember those things, and I remember the flannel graph board, and I remember learning about King David and how awesome he was. He was awesome because they only told me the good parts of King David. And then when I started reading the Bible for myself, I was like, David who? David what? David. Now, David was a mess, y'all, and you know he was. But the Bible said this about David. It's the Lord said, I looked for a man after my heart, and I found David. That gives hope. That gives hope to every man that's ever breathed, especially to the man who has messed up. Especially to the man who's messed up really bad. Especially to the man who's messed up and messed up and messed up and messed up and scrubbed bottom and got a chisel-matic pick or started chipping away and finding new levels of low. Thank God that he'll reach to that level. Amen. But David prayed to God. And I want you to listen to a prayer that he prayed. In Psalm 34 and verse 6, it says, this poor man cried. Now that's David, who is a king. David said this. He said, this poor man cried out, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all of his troubles. He did not say, now look, God, I'm a king, and you know you picked me out. So you gotta fix this. Either we gotta hide this thing up, because people can't handle me being their king and me being who I really am. No, he said, this poor man cried out, and he heard me in my trouble, and he answered me. That's the God we serve. That he'll look through the titles, even a title that he gave us. David was heaven's king, right? Appointed by from heaven. Like, little shepherd boy, you're going to be a king. You're going to play that harp. You're going to go back out and watch over them sheep, and you're going to get attacked by a lion, and you're going to get attacked by a bear, and lions and tigers and bears. Oh, my. David. And then you're going to get anointed as king, but you're going to go back out there and work some more in that field. And then I'm going to exalt you. And you're going to mess the whole thing up. That's just a quick summary. And that's a really nice picture of what David did in his life. But there was a man named David that cried out, and he said, this poor man cried out, and the Lord heard him and saved him from all of his troubles. That tells me there's not a trouble that I can get myself to that God won't hear about, know about, and bring me out of if I'll cry out to him. How does a strong man pray then? A strong man cries out to God. Do you know that everything else in David's life, he could have, from the time he was king, he could have just said, that, bring it to me. Bring it to me. We don't do very well with that kind of authority, though, do we? Neither did David. So one more passage, because I told you that we're in Psalms, and I got Proverbs, and I got to get to Proverbs. So Proverbs chapter 30, and we're going to learn about a man whose name was Agur, the son of Jacob, and his utterance. This man declared to Ithiel and Ucal, surely I am more stupid than any man. Y'all remember chapter 12 when we talked about stupid and what the Bible said about being stupid, and if you didn't love knowledge, you're stupid. Well, in Proverbs chapter 30, we get the words of a self-proclaimed stupid man. The words of Agar. And he said, surely I am more stupid than any man, and do not have the understanding of a man. I neither learned wisdom nor have knowledge of the Holy One. Who has ascended into heaven or descended? Who has gathered the wind in his fist? Who has bound the waters in a garment? Who has established all the ends of the earth? What is his name and what is his son's name, if you know? Do you know how prophetic that is, though, right there? This is Proverbs, and he's talking about Jesus. He's talking about the Son of God right there. Every word of God is pure. He is a shield to those who put their trust in him. Do not add to his words, lest he rebuke you and you be found a liar. So now let me stop and talk about Agar for a second. The commentary talks about Agar, and it says we don't know that much about him, except for what he said. We have to draw out of what he said. But what we have learned little bits along the way is that Agar was a man who was not a great orator, but what he did was write down sayings of other men. When he found something of truth, he would write it down. And it ended up making its way into the Holy Scriptures. It is an amazing thing to me. So God inspired him to speak things that he had learned from other people. But here's another thing that is amazing about this chapter and what this man says. Now, I know that there are just so many words of wisdom and so many words in Proverbs that we can pick up and derive and even use as a prayer. One of my favorites. Proverbs 3, verse 5 and 6. Where's Miss Donna at? She can just, you ever call Miss Donna and you don't get her? You'll hear this. What is it, Miss Donna? Trust? That could be a wonderful prayer right there, couldn't it? It could be a prayer, but it was a statement. And we could adopt that as a prayer. We could use that as a prayer. But to this man's, I guess, fame right here, the whole book of Proverbs, there's only one prayer in it. And this is it. And he prays a prayer right here. And I want you to remember what he says. Because we're talking about how does a strong man pray. This man has admit, I'm the dumbest man that there is. There's none more in the stupid stack I reigned on high. And yet he turns around and says this, a true prayer of a strong man. And he says this, two things I request of you. Deprive me not before I die. This is his prayer. Remove falsehood and lies far from me. If that's happening, what will be reproduced over and over in his life? Truth. Remove falsehood and lies far from me. Give me neither poverty nor riches. Feed me with the food allotted to me, lest I be full and deny you and say, who is the Lord? Or lest I be poor and steal and profane the name of my God. That's how a strong man prays. If you look at that prayer and you just contrast that against the Lord's Prayer, against the model prayer, our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. It says it right there. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. It is an amazing thing to me. How does a strong man pray? How did David pray? Cried out to the Lord. Do you remember when Jesus was in the garden and he cried out? Do you know what he cried out? Do you remember what he said? Abba, Father. Do you know that when you say Abba to Father, that means something? That means, Father, I will obey. That means I have reached out to a place where I say, Father, I will obey. That prayer does not come out easily from our lips. When the Bible says that we pray and that we have this positioning in Him, in His righteousness, that we can call out, Abba, Father, that is a place of recognition of us, that what He's created for us is a place of adoption. And now we can like sit in His lap and talk face to face. But it is a prayer that we don't pray that every time. We don't pray an Abba Father prayer. But an Abba Father prayer is a prayer where we're calling out to God and crying out to Him in this position. God, I need you right now. God, I need you right now. I'm going to tell you how I see a strong man praying. To me, a strong man prays like Agur prayed, like David prayed. That's two completely different walks of life, two completely different socioeconomic positions in life. From the richest of the rich, who would be David, who would be the king, to the lowest of the low, who called himself stupid. But the similarities of both men is that they are crying out to God. How does a strong man pray? To me, a strong man prays like he is a weak man. A strong man prays like he's a weak man. A strong man recognizes his weakness. And from his weakness, he cries out to a strong God who will answer us in our weakness and will rescue us in our weakness. We've got a choice to make in our culture, men, fathers. I wish I could say it's an easy thing to do, but it's obviously not, because not that many are doing it. Not that many are doing it. If we look around and we're honest with ourselves, not that many are doing it. Is it because possibly it's too hard for us to be weak or admit that we're weak? Because the truth is, we're weak. He actually made us to be totally dependent on Him. Do you know that what He recognizes in us is our need to be totally dependent on Him? And if we're not totally dependent on Him, He recognizes it. When we recognize our weakness, we cry out to Him, and He hears our prayer, and He answers us from every trouble that we have. That's the God that we serve. I don't want today to be just another Father's Day message. I want this to be a day when we recognize this book of truth that we have as the truth. And we gird our waist with His truth so that we reproduce truth and eliminate lies. We're not going to make it very far in this world, in this culture, trying to out-argue somebody. Oh yeah, there are people that can do it well. But there are also people on the enemy side who argue their point pretty well. And if you don't know what to say, they'll get you. They're training for it. They're practicing on it. And they could not wait to get their mouth on you if the opportunity arises. Because they'll chew you up and spit you out. And if you start gaining, all they've got to do is curse you and walk away. And a crowd will probably cheer them for it. That's the culture that we live in. So as not to allow that to happen, we just kind of pander, and I don't want to be confrontational, and you can believe what you want. Can't we just all get along? No, we can't. For what fellowship has light with darkness? Isn't that what the word says? I'm not saying that we need to be the most controversial people that there are. I'm telling you that as believers, we need to know what we believe. And we need to believe it. And we don't have to shy away. And we don't have to be quiet. We must put our faith and our trust in Him, come what may.
John, I can't believe you circle back to that. I have a word I just cannot get past this morning. I've been staring at this the whole time. How many of you know when the Lord speaks to you and you can't swallow and your heart is beating so fast? I have to share this. I just have to. Yeah. He's been talking so much about mixture the last months and why it's so confusing to the world. When we call ourselves believer, but there's mixture in our lives, there's mixture in our conversation. And he's been talking about having a foot in two kingdoms. And this is the word that is like a neon sign in my spirit this morning. And this is a warning. This is a compromise. Oh, yeah, sorry. I'm talking and writing. Compromise. That's what's like a neon light in my spirit this morning and a warning to stop compromising. And these are the two words that I kept seeing underneath of it. Disobedience and ignorance. And the picture that kept coming to my mind was when the truth comes in us, it has to receive truth to produce truth. We have to have a strong foundation of truth so that we can reproduce truth. But what's happening is this. I come to church on Sunday, and I listen to Pastor John, but I don't really read the Bible for myself. I know what the Bible says about that, but I think God just understands my situation and understands why I can't do that. I know I'm supposed to have self-control, but people drive me crazy. And so that's just the way that I am. Okay? This is what starts to happen to the truth. So that, here's another one, disobedience, but ignorance. Ignorance is just not knowing. Okay? It's not that you're stupid. It's just you don't know. And so many people don't know what they believe and why they believe it because they're not in the Word. And they're saying, well, I'm not really sure where I stand on that. The culture and the world is saying this. And it just, when I read the Bible, it just seems mean. Or it just seems like maybe God doesn't really mean that. And that's what happens to the truth. We're ignorant. We don't know because we've not taken the time to know the truth. So when the lies come, we are vulnerable and we reproduce lies without even knowing it. That's why the world is confused, because they're inadvertently even. The lies that we're being fed by the culture are slipping through because we don't know the truth. And so the warning that the Holy Spirit kept saying to me all service since I saw this is, tell my people to stop compromising, stop being disobedient, and don't be ignorant. Know for yourself what my truth is and the truth of my word. I know that's strong this morning, but I am literally shaking inside because I know this is a warning to us as believers. Do not disobey God's word. Do not be ignorant of what he requires of us to be his what? Ambassadors. We are to represent him. We are supposed to be reproducing truth in the earth. The body is supposed to be a beacon that points to Christ. So when you see these things, call them out. When you see the lies in the culture, in the church as a whole, call them out. Yeah. Don't compromise.
Thank you, Christine. That if anything strange things seem strange to you today, it seems strange to me. Maybe I'm just standing here saying something that I sense something that's about to happen and I don't even know to tell you. But I feel a shift. I feel, and you guys know, I'm not that pastor that's like, do, 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 and gives you some kind of nonsense. I don't know how long we're going to be able to do this. I'm not trying to scare you. I'm just looking out there and wondering how long they are going to put up with this, because I've seen us have to shut our doors. Did we not learn anything from that? Everybody did it. We shut our doors for 5 weeks during COVID. And then I started getting the strangest calls. People saying, Pastor, when can we come back to church? I was about to pass out. I was like, now, isn't this an interesting thing? I'm always preaching, y'all come to church, and now y'all are asking me, when can we come back? I wish kind of that we'd go back to a little bit of that mentality and realize what an incredible privilege we have together as long as we can. Do you know there's countries that can't right now? Do you know that our missionary in India right now has to be careful for every word that he says? You know that he doesn't even have to baptize somebody. He just has to get word that they just have to get word that he baptized somebody. They could come arrest him. They could beat his family. Start beating on my family and help me make a decision. Now, am I going to go back and preach at Christ Fellowship Church? I mean, I look over there at my wife, and they beat her all to pieces, and my son's barely alive. I think I'll go back and preach this morning. I don't know that I've got that inside of me, y'all. But what about when the enemy starts really showing up and persecuting the church? You know what persecution is right now? They don't like us. They said mean things about us. Big deal. And we got the truth. We got the truth of God's word. What I'm telling you is hatred does not play nice. Hatred does not go tit for tat. Hatred goes right for the jugular. And hatred will rise up again and fight tomorrow because it hates. And it doesn't even have to win. It just has to wear you down a little bit. I used to raise dogs. I raised boxers. Boxers are beautiful dogs. And they look like they can fight because they're as muscle-bound as they could be. But they're not the best fighters. They're not bred to fight. They're bred to be strong and beautiful and captivating and playful and happy. And I had somebody start stealing my dogs, and I had to get a better dog. We lived in a very rough neighborhood. So I got a German Shepherd. He was slick black. He was 130 pounds. His name was Duke, and he owned the territory. And Duke was a bad boy. And he pranced around that yard, but I had a male stud dog, and he thought he ruled the roost. And the first time I brought that dog home, I brought him home full grown. I didn't have the money to buy a dog like that. Somebody gave me that dog. I said, yeah, I'll take him. I got a job for him to do. And he came to my house, and the first thing that my stud boxer did was lock up with that German Shepherd in a fight. And it was, my family was, I was pulling everybody back, and I finally got to that German Shepherd, and he pinned my boxer down the ground. He was on him and at his throat with that big old mouth, like, ah, I thought he's gonna kill him right now in front of my family. I got him back. I was like, this ain't gonna work. Every day that happened for about a week, those two would lock up. They hated each other, and it was a fight. Every day that German Shepherd pinned that boxer down. One day, I heard that boxer outside just going, roo, 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 roo. And I look out and I'm like, what in the world? That boxer had jumped up on my air conditioner. It was about that high. He had jumped up on there, and there sat Duke, the big German Shepherd, and here's my boxer. Roo, 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 roo. He had found an advantage place to get up above him. And I went out there and I said, shut up. And then when it came time to feed the dogs, I didn't see the transition happen when it happened, but I certainly noticed it afterwards. I poured all the dogs their food, and I saw my German Shepherd. He went over there and laid down in the corner and looked like that. Duke, the boxer, went straight to my German Shepherd's. He went straight to his food and ate his food. And then he went and ate his own food. He's like, I'm eating everything. I'll starve him out. That's literally what had happened. The kingdom had shifted. And the one who could win. And I even told my wife that week, the king of the yard has lost his kingdom. And he gave it up. And I told her that week, I said, what will happen right here? I said, I gave y'all his wrong name because it's been quite a few years ago. The big German Shepherd, his name was Zeus. He was like a god. he was an incredible dog. I told her, and the boxer's name was Duke, so it was Duke and Zeus. I said, Zeus can beat Duke at will anytime, but Zeus is going to have to beat Duke every day, because Duke is going to show up for the fight every day. It took about a week, but at the end of the week, Duke took over his kingdom again. And Zeus was useless. As far as authority went in that yard, he was useless. And had all the strength, had all the authority, had all the power at any time, until he gave it up because he just decided it's not worth the fight. That's what I see coming to the body of Christ right there. If we don't stand our ground and just walk in the authority that we have, we're going to be beaten down. Like Agur said, give me my daily bread, Lord. My bread comes from above. Nobody will take my bread away from me. Nobody will get my bread away from me. Do you hear what I'm saying? The authority of His Word. I don't know when it's coming, but I sense that it's coming. In this room, we're on the right side. Across this nation right now, people are praying. People are getting saved. Lives are being changed. Across this globe, I mean, it's not at the same time, but across the globe, it's either nighttime or something over there. It's not the same as it is right now. People have worshiped God. People will worship God. And people on the West Coast, they're just now getting to where we were this morning on our way to church. You know how the globe does. There are people that are going to meet secretly today, and their lives will be at risk if they are found. You walk in here, you can leave out of here, you can wave your hands, nobody cares that much yet. But who knows? Strong men, we've got to pray like weak men, with all of our dependence upon Almighty God. That's what it's calling for. Compromise must be eliminated, or lies will slip in and break the belt of truth that should be wrapped around our waist so that we can eliminate all untruths. Father, today I pray that we receive your word. There is an obvious battle that's going on in the heavenlies, in principalities, and in darkness, and the enemy trying to spread his reign. But we're in your kingdom, Lord. And help us to wear your belt of truth, to know what truth is. To know what your truth is, so that we don't allow any compromise in, that we stand for truth, that we stand with you, and we stand under you, under God. Help us to be resolute in that action, God. Help us to be convinced in that action. Help us to be strong in that action, so that we pray. When we pray as weak men, we are actually being moved and changed into strong men, until Christ be formed in us, is my prayer, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.